over Capri makes a deathly daylight. You could see to read on that balcony, if anyone went out there. Frosted glass doors open out on it from a big room on the ground floor. Two determinedly calm persons and a dog sit looking at each other.
Lucy, stop it.
Stop what?
Stop looking over at that balcony.
I'm sorry, darling.
Why are we sitting here anyway? There's an outer room that's much more comfortable.
It's like having a toothache, a very little toothache.
I may be dense, Angel, but I don't follow you.
You put your tongue against the tooth to see if it'll hurt. You know it will hurt, but you go on doing it just the same. That's us.
Maybe you're right.
Oh, Tom, did you ever think we'd have a lovely house like this?
Yeah, the house is all right, yes. Then they have to go and spoil everything. Our honeymoon. With this blasted Tommy rot.
Why,
about...
Tom, you're as jittery now as I was this afternoon. Oh, even Tiberius is jittery.
Yes, I guess I am. Easy, boy. Easy, easy.
Well, there's whiskey on the table. They call it Viki here. Fetch yourself a drink.
In a minute. Not just now. Lucy, there's nothing wrong with that balcony. Suppose you walked out there this minute.
I've had a horrible longing to try it. Just because I know I shouldn't.
Well, nothing could attack you. All you'd have to do would be to yell. That'd bring Mr. Granger out on his balcony like a shot. And the neighbor on the other side of us would... Well, who is on the other side, by the way?
A loony doctor.
A what?
A specialist in brain diseases. Dr. David. He's English.
Listen. It's somebody in the outer room. Easy, Tiberius. Easy.
Tom, I'm afraid.
It's all right, darling. You hold Tiberius's collar while I open the door. We don't want him to fly at anybody. We're going into the other room and stay there. Ready?
Yes.
Good evening, Mr. Courtney. Good evening, Mrs. Courtney. I'm no ghost, though you appear to regard me as one. I'm merely your neighbor, Dr. Rutherford Davis.
Oh, yes, of course. Mr. Granger mentioned you.
I trust you will pardon this intrusion. No one answered my knock, so I ventured to come in.
It's no intrusion, Dr. Davis. We're a little disorganized here, that's all.
Naturally. Mr. Courtney, I wish I could say welcome to Capri, but I have a very different message.
Well?
If you value Mrs. Courtney's life, you'll go back to Naples immediately, sir.
Not you, too.
I do not say that as a ghost hunter, sir. I say it as a medical man. May I sit down?
Oh, of course. Please do.
Oh, thank you.
We seem to be forgetting our manners. Dr. Davis, will you have a drink?
Oh, thank you. Perhaps a small whiskey?
I'll get it, darling. You sit down and talk to Dr. Davis.
You're not going back into that room alone.
Oh, I'm only going to get the drinks, Tom. I promise to be good. And Tiberius can come with me. Can't you, Tiberius?
Oh, I see you've borrowed Tiberius from the Countess Lucchese.
Yes, she was kind enough to offer him. Excuse me, I'll be back in a minute. Come on, Tiberius.
I hope this is all right, Doctor.
No, sir. It is not all right. Your wife is in very great danger.
But why? Because of that balcony?
No. Because she looks exactly like the late Josephine Adams.
I don't get it.
Mr. Courtney, did you ever hear of paranoia?
It's some kind of mental disease, isn't it?
The paranoic begins by imagining that he or she is being persecuted by someone. First, he hears things. A voice in his brain whispers, "You'll be killed. You'll be killed. You'll be killed." He hears it in the tick of a clock, in the rattle of a train, in the footsteps on the street. There are holes in the walls through which his enemy is always watching. Invisible speaking tubes bring him messages. There are pains in his joints and nightmares of attempts to poison him. His brain bursts and he kills. He kills. He kills. Well, excuse me for speaking so strongly.
But how does this affect us?
Mr. Courtney, will you examine this sheet of paper?
What is it?
The fragment of a typewritten diary. I found it on the cliffs months ago. Don't ask me who wrote it. But I know there's a criminal lunatic on this island. He imagined that poor, inoffensive Josephine Adams was his enemy. So he killed her.
Killed her? How?
I don't know.
And what happened to the girl's body?
I'm not a detective, sir. The body was carried out to sea, perhaps, or washed along the cliffs and into the Blue Grotto to be lost. But don't you understand the danger to your wife?
You're not suggesting that
with somebody's cracked brain, your wife is Josephine Adams, created all over again.
Kill Lucy? It couldn't be done.
It was done, my friend. Listen. That sounded like a dog howling. Mrs. Courtney is rather a long time in getting that whiskey.
She wouldn't go near the balcony. She promised not to go out on the balcony.
People do very perverse things, my friend, when they know they shouldn't.
Lucy! Lucy!
That seems to be Tiberius out on the balcony. I can't see anything else from here.
She's gone. She's gone. She's gone.
Empty balcony, a howling dog, and a sea turned clear silver under the moon. Then, after the tumult and the shouting, there are other pictures. Don't you hear the noise of that motor launch with a half-demented young man at the wheel? Three other familiar figures are gathered around it. Don't you recognize the brunette prettiness of Nellie Lucchese? The white 10-gallon hat of Harry Granger, and the neat, pointed beard of Dr. Davis.
But what on earth is he going to do out here in this motorboat?
I'd like to know that one myself.
Listen, please, all of you.
Now, take it easy, son. We're with you.
What time is it?
Time?
Yes. What time is it?
It's 2:30 in the morning, going on for 3.
12 hours. Then the tide ought to be just where it was this afternoon.
What's the tide got to do with it?
A whole lot. Somebody set a trap and made Lucy fall off that balcony. I know it.
Oh, that's absurd.
If Lucy's been carried out to sea, there's nothing we can do about it. But if she's been carried along with the current and into the Blue Grotto...
Blue Grotto?
One moment, sir. You're not proposing to run this big launch under that arch after dark?
Yes, Doctor. That's just exactly it.
Go on. Do it. I'll back you up. Let's have some excitement.
It'll be exciting enough, I assure you. Mr. Courtney, have you got some wild hope of recovering your wife's body?
I've even got a wild hope she may be alive. Lucy's a very strong swimmer.
You're acting like a nut, son.
Get set, everybody. I'm going to swing around.
We're in the current now. Better hold tight.
I've got to duck my own head when we go through. Everybody else, squat down.
I still protest against this. Don't you understand, Mr. Courtney?
Get ready. Here we go.
What on earth is wrong? There's no Blue Grotto. It's as black as pitch.
My dear Nellie, I kept trying to tell all of you. The Blue Grotto effect is caused by the sun's rays. There never is one except when the sun is out. Just how does our friend propose to find anything in here?
Listen.
Something's got hold of the side of the boat. I felt it move.
Not the dead girl, I trust.
There's a hand here. A wet hand. Lucy.
She's not alive.
Mr. Granger, help me lift her up over the side. Easy, easy now. Don't tip the boat. Oh, Lucy. Lucy, are you all right?
Doctor.
Are you all right, Lucy? Can you hear me?
All right. I'm just exhausted. I got in here. Couldn't swim out against the current.
Oh, don't try to talk.
I've got to talk. I'm going to faint. Tom. Who's with you?
Only our friends.
Who's with you? Is the murderer with you?
I was just wondering the same thing. To be shut up in the dark at 3 o'clock in the morning with a criminal lunatic.
Who spoke then?
Now, Lucy, don't hold me so tight. Let go, dear. I'll get the boat started and have you out of here in a second.
Who spoke then?
Only Dr. Davis.
Tom, I've got to tell you. I know how that girl, Josephine Adam, died. Almost killed me.
Has anybody here got some brandy? Or a flashlight?
I have a flashlight, my friend. Will you allow me, as a medical man, to examine Mrs. Courtney?
You better keep back for just a second, Doctor. She's hysterical. Give me the flashlight, please.
I walked into the other room. Nobody with me. All alone except Tiberius.
Yes, Lucy.
Somebody called my name. From the balcony, I thought. Very softly. Mrs. Courtney, said. Mrs. Courtney.
Did you recognize the voice?
Yes. That's why I went.
Hadn't you better start up this boat and get out of here?
Yes, then.
Don't pay any attention to them, Lucy. Nobody can hurt you now.
I went out in the balcony. It was bright moonlight. Brightest day. But there was nobody there.
Nobody on the balcony?
No. I looked out over the sea. And then something came at me. Something flew out of the air and came at me.
Just one moment before Mrs. Courtney goes on. Is anybody in this boat carrying a revolver?
Not that I know of.
Excuse my mentioning it, but I felt something. Metal. Like a revolver. Brush past my hand.
Oh, it was only the flashlight.
Excuse me, it was not a flashlight. Mr. Courtney's got the flashlight.
Would you please let Lucy go on and finish? Lucy, you were on the balcony and something came at you.
Yes. Like a snake. Sideways. Out of the air. It went over my head. Fastened around my neck. It was a rope. With a running noose in it.
A rope?
That's it. A rope. It was thrown from another balcony. I'm small and light, like Josephine Adams. It pulled me sideways. And over the rail. I fell.
I think I begin to understand what...
They couldn't see what happened to Josephine Adams. Frosted glass doors to the balcony. So they couldn't see.
But take it easy now. You're perfectly safe.
But is she perfectly safe?
The murderer let her fall on the rope. But the rope was jerked tight long before she struck the water. That broke her neck. Then the murderer lowered her softly.
So there wasn't any splash. And the current took her away, rope and all.
That's it. It would have happened to me. Only the rope must have slipped through the murderer's fingers.
Through whose fingers?
What did I tell you? Somebody in this boat has got a revolver.
Who's overboard? Somebody went?
Switch on that light, my friend, and shine it on the water.
All right, Doctor. There's your light. Look at it. Turning over and over. The water in the blue grotto is red now.
Tom, stay close to me.
Oh, it's all right, Lucy. I swear you're safe enough now.
Did he shoot himself?
Yes.
Did who shoot himself?
Who had a balcony exactly like ours on the house next door? Who began life as a cowpuncher and would have known how to use a lasso?
Yes, and knew Josephine Adams well and got it into his maniac's head that Mrs. Courtney was Josephine Adams all over again.
Harry Granger. Look. There's his 10-gallon hat floating away.
And so ends The Bride Vanishes, a story of mysterious doings in the Isle of Capri, and tonight's story of suspense. Columbia presents these tales of mystery and intrigue and dangerous adventure for your relaxation and enjoyment. Next Tuesday, there'll be another in this series. Same hour, 9:30 Eastern Wartime. William Spear, the producer, John Dietz, the director, Alexander Semler, the composer, conductor, and John Dixon Carr, the author, are collaborators on Suspense.
This is the Columbia Broadcasting System.